Hey everybody, it's Tom from A Cast of the Past, your favorite time-hopping video game podcast, and I'm here to remind you that on Saturday, November 7th, 2020, Josh and I will be 24-hour live streaming video games for a good cause. Through Extra Life, we are going to be benefiting the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital at Geisinger. We're going to be playing some crowd-pleasing favorites such as Super Smash Bros., Among Us, Fall Guys, Mario Kart, and more. Plus, we're going to be doing some unique things during the stream. We're going to be playing a live D&D session. We're going to have a movie watch along. We are going to record a live episode of this podcast during the stream. And you can buy in for some fun activities. There will be a tier list of donations. Any dollar you give will be appreciated, but the more you give, the more you get. There'll be some special interesting things to see. So come on out on Saturday, November 7th from 3 p.m. till 3 p.m. the next day. It's going to be 24 hours of awesomeness, and we hope to see you there.
Welcome back, everybody, to A Cast of the Past, where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light. I'm Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And today, we are concluding the spookiest month of the year, October, with one of the most spookiest games to release on the GameCube, Luigi's Mansion.
All the Eternal Darkness fans are going to rip us a new A-hole in the comments. I mean, no, honestly, Josh, I think this is going to be a very nice chaser to the three games we did this month, because we started on heavy human drama, and then we went into gory zombie nightmare, and then we went into existential family horror.
Psychological.
And now it's and now it's cartoon Italian man looking for his brother. It's great.
This is more wholesome horror.
Yeah, absolutely. Wholesome horror.
But
that's great. But
I talk about this being one of the spookiest games on the GameCube because this was a launch title for the GameCube. You want to talk about scary, releasing a Nintendo console without Mario as your mascot. That's pretty terrifying.
That is bone chilling. You're right. You're right. They took a horrific gamble with this, I gotta say. Josh, I know we get to this eventually, but the launch of the GameCube, when did you get your GameCube?
I got my GameCube Christmas Day.
2001?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
I got my GameCube day one, 2001. I pre-ordered a bundle. I saved all my money up from shoveling snow and doing chores and crap. And I pre-ordered a GameCube launch bundle. And they had at GameStop every launch game, like you could pack in three. And I almost didn't get this game. I originally had bundled Wave Race Blue Storm, Star Wars Rogue Leader, Rogue Squadron 2, and Luigi's Mansion. And then, I was 13. It was around that time of your life where your friends and the people in your social circle start growing up, and some stuff stops being cool. Some stuff starts being for kids. And I was like, is Luigi's Mansion not cool because Luigi is for kids? And I took it off the pre-order list and I replaced it with like that year's MLB game. But then I started getting FOMO. I'm like, but it's a Mario game and you can't miss out on a new Mario game. So then I put Luigi's Mansion back in and I like flip-flopped on it and eventually landed on this as one of my first GameCube games.
Yeah, when I got my GameCube, I got Batman Vengeance. Well, actually, okay, hold on. I got my GameCube Christmas Day with no games.
Oh, wait, whoa.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh.
Luckily enough, the West Coast video by us was open Christmas Day.
Hold on, what? Finish it.
Oh, West Coast video, take home the entertainment.
Take home the entertainment. Okay.
I went down there Christmas Day because they opened at noon, because people who got money or whatnot could rent games or rent movies and stuff like that for their new DVD players or their new video game systems.
Whoa!
Yeah. So
there's menus now.
I rented Batman Vengeance because it was a Batman game based off of the animated series. And I was like, okay, sold. Then I bought Star Wars Rogue Leader. Because
you bought it from West Coast?
No, I bought it from Walmart.
Oh,
shortly after.
They probably marked it up.
Do you know what's really bad about buying these games though, Tom? As a kid?
Oh, what?
Forgetting that you have to buy a memory card.
Oh, you didn't have a GameCube memory card.
I didn't have a GameCube memory card. So I kept constantly playing these games over and over and over and over and over again to the point where I was so done with the beginning of the game. Then I finally found a memory card. And the memory cards were like $50, $60 themselves when they came out.
Yeah, everybody, don't think Nintendo's practices of pricing up their content is a brand new thing. Don't think an $80 Pro Controller is some mysterious new practice of theirs. Everything Nintendo has always been expensive.
But Luigi's Mansion was a game that I played and beat 1 month ago.
So you're saying, in a twist on this podcast, this is a game that you hadn't played before and I had.
Correct. This is my first. This is my first time playing Luigi's Mansion.
Oh my gosh! I get to lead you. I get to be your shepherd through gaming history.
It's so amazing. Fun though, like because like usually when we do these, it's one of us hasn't played the other game most of the time. Like so, yeah. I'm.
You didn't tell me that. You saved that surprise for the show. Thank you.
Yeah. So I was very interested to jump into this game because this is a game that, you know, 19 years old right now. And did I miss a classic? I don't know. So tell me about the development process and the nitty gritty of this, Tom, so I can jump in and talk about this game.
All right. So Luigi's Mansion, this is a game that its developmental roots begin in the N64 era, to be 100% honest with you. And at its core, Nintendo always knew that they wanted to make a game that was set within like a contained location, and they decided on a house pretty early. They knew it was going to be within a house, and Mario was the initial main character, and its gimmick evolved. It was not initially a horror game, but they started playing with lighting, and they were experimenting with like the shadowy dark look with lightning and firelight, you know, illuminating areas. And then they were like, this would be great for horror. And then they were like, Mario can't be the star of a horror game because characteristically he's brave. So they slotted in Luigi, who Luigi's arc as like becoming a full-fledged character. Let me ask you, Josh, are you a Luigi fan?
I am.
Do you
Luigi
like
fan.
Luigi?
Yeah.
What do you like about Luigi?
I love John Leguizamo. And I
okay. What do you like about the real Luigi?
I like him because he's the underdog of the two Mario brothers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always second fiddle, and I think he deserves more respect than he always got because people are always like, I want to be Mario. Like, actually, I think the green and blue combination for his suit is a little bit cooler than Mario's right now. Like, even playing Mario 2, he was a better of the two characters to play. Because he had the little leg flutter thing. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, so, Luigi was always just a fun alternative. Because, like, sometimes you don't want to be the main character.
Right, like in Halo 3 ODST. But, you know, so Luigi, I feel like in the mid-90s up to, like, the early 2000s is when they really started giving him even more personality traits that have turned him into the character we know today. For a while, it just in official Nintendo canon and media, he was just Mario's reliable brother who was taller and can jump higher. But then they started, you know, as you said, putting an underdog aspect on him. He looked up to Mario. He wanted to be a hero like Mario, but he was a little bit of honestly, he's a coward.
Yeah.
He's a little scaredy cat. And this is where that all came to a head. This was decided they were going to give this game exclusively to Luigi. And what's interesting about this game is that it's very important to the existence of the GameCube. I mentioned earlier they switched it over to horror when they were like playing with the dynamic lighting and the shadows and the particle effects. You notice how, I'm sure you noticed, anytime you know you walk down a hallway, Luigi will kick up some dust because this is an abandoned spooky mansion and the dust will float in the air. Well, every time they incorporated a new kind of environmental technique like that, they had to talk to the people designing the specs for the GameCube and say, this needs to be capable of that. And that's how the GameCube's technological powers were built up. It was basically in tandem with this game. So this was first revealed at Space World in 2000, the very same Space World where they showed off that infamous realistic Zelda trailer where Link is sword fighting Ganon. And it made everybody think, oh, the next Zelda is going to be photorealistic, which was a ripple effect that caused the backlash against Wind Waker. But that's for another day. And then, yes, this was released as the launch Mario title for the Nintendo GameCube, which was unique in that it was a Mario title, but Mario didn't play that big of a part in it.
Nope.
So were you aware of this in 2001 around the hype of the GameCube release?
Yes. I was aware of the game, and everyone was talking about, like, oh, this is going to be the first Nintendo console to not launch with a Mario game. Uh-huh. Like, it was weird, and I know a lot of people were hesitant about it. And when it came out, it received some mixed reviews, some majority positive, but, like, mostly, like, 7s out of 10s, 8 out of 10s, somewhere there. It was never, like, an OMG, this is a must-have game for the console. Especially when you're comparing it to something like Rogue Leader. I think this was a game, though, that later down the road received the respect that it needed. The same way that I feel like some people have started to respect Super Mario Sunshine more recently.
I think there's a generational nostalgia that is involved with both of those. And I agree with you. I think the GameCube's release, coming so close to the Xbox, they were within days of each other. And, you know, the way Halo blew up in the mainstream, and then Super Smash Brothers releasing a month later became the only GameCube game people wanted to talk about. This was kind of regulated to, you know, maybe cult classic status, you know, passionate small fan base, but not going to be a mainstream conversation piece. But it's had a healthy life because of that. We'll get to that later. So, Josh, I want to hear about your gameplay experience. This is not a long game. How long did it take you?
I think total, it was like 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, fully. That's about like, yeah, the average, yeah. And Nintendo acknowledged that this was not a long game, but they built in certain challenge aspects to keep you coming back. They were banking on the game being so appealing in both its atmosphere and gameplay that you would want to, you know, jump back in, you know, for a nice little gameplay session.
Would you say banking on because of all the money you collect?
Yeah, that is a vital part of this experience.
Yes. So, playing it, though, I had really, all I ever remember people saying is that it constantly got blisters because of rotating the analog stick. But, like, if you read how to play this game, you don't need to roll the analog stick. You just push the analog stick in the opposite direction of it. And I was like, I was so confused. Like, why is everyone saying that it's hurting their hands and stuff like that? This is very simple.
I could easily see this being like a victim of people just misreading things. Can I say this game? I know this game would destroy Joy-Cons if it was ever ported. I have not gotten to play Luigi's Mansion 3 yet, but I mean, even without rolling it incorrectly, just the amount of tension and pressure you have to put on them to suck ghosts into the Poltergust 3000, you gotta drag them all around and everything. So the C stick and the thumbstick of the GameCube, much sturdier.
So if I had to sum up my overall impressions on this game, I would say that this game is wonderfully frustrating.
Interesting. Okay, why so?
I love the game. It was super fun. It was very fun. The world was cool. All of the ghosts were great and unique, and they all had so much character to them. Boss battles were horrendous. I hated the boss battles in this game. All 4 or 5 of them that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And collecting the booze was the worst experience that I had getting into this game towards the end. Where, oh, this boo has 300 seconds. Okay, suck it up. Okay, you got 2. Now run into another room. Okay, run into that room now. Have the scene play through again of the boo appearing. Go over, suck it up, 2 seconds, another 2 seconds, it runs over to another room. Go through the animations again, do it constantly over and over and over again to the point. And then you had to collect 50 boos. And I collected all 50 boos. I collected every ghost in this game and all 50 boos. And all I got from it was a giant pearl or whatever the hell that thing was. Like, oh, man, like the reward for doing all that stuff wasn't worth it.
Okay, yeah, no, I feel you. I will also acknowledge the booze being a problem, and we'll get to it. But yeah, I feel like this game does hit a bit of a wall towards its finale, where the way that they're stretching out gameplay almost reaches padding status, and it's a little bit frustrating to see Nintendo do something like that. So, yeah, but I agree with you on the wonderful part and the frustrating part. But, you know, let's talk about this mansion. What's Luigi doing in it, Josh? Do you want to inform everybody of why we're here? How did Luigi get here?
So Luigi won this mansion. It was great. He didn't enter a contest, and he won a mansion. It was crazy.
Yeah.
He had no idea how that happened. And
I mean, I don't know about you, Josh, but like I get phone calls all the time about auto insurance that I don't actually have, or social security crimes that I didn't actually commit. But Luigi wins a contest he didn't actually enter. Man, dude's living the dream.
So he goes to investigate it, and he finds out that it's haunted. Surprise, surprise. And it's haunted mm-hmm. by booze and several other different types of ghost inside of this. But it's led by the infamous King Boo. And King Boo has kidnapped Mario.
Mario!
Which, can we just say the voice acting to this game is just so wonderful. Even though it's a couple little lines here. Mario? Mario? Like, it's so fun.
Charles Martinet is incredible as Luigi. He's very good. Yes. So it's a sinister plot wherein Mario has been kidnapped by some ghosts and he's been put into a painting. And Luigi is rescued very early on from almost being paintingified himself by Professor E. Gadd, Elvin Gadd. Josh, what's your opinion on Professor E. Gadd?
I like him. He's fun.
He
reminds
me of Doc Brown. Yeah. He is the Doc Brown of the Mario universe, the wacky eccentric inventor.
He honestly looks like he should have been in the Pikmin series, like his character design.
Yeah, small body, big kind of round head. Mm-hmm. I could see him being like Olimar's dad or something. He rescues Luigi. He has a little laboratory outside the mansion because he's been studying it because it's haunted, and he has a bunch of inventions. And the invention that he gives Luigi to capture ghosts is the Poltergust 3000, which is this goofy, funny little vacuum cleaner device. And so this is basically where like the kind of Ghostbusters analogy comes in. He also gives Luigi a special flashlight, and he gives him a Game Boy Horror.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, can you tell us what the Game Boy Horror does within the game?
A Game Boy Horror is pretty much your inventory system. You get your map inside of it, but he holds up, he carries a little Game Boy around with him. And you can see what rooms you've gone into, what ghosts you've captured, what ghosts you haven't captured, a whole bunch of other stuff, like what type of inventory you have when it comes to like money and stuff like that. It's really fun. And it's a Game Boy. He has pretty much just the Game Boy. And yeah, it was a nice little added feature. I was like, oh, that's adorable.
I think it's really nice that it's not just like something that like is only on screen for you, the player. It's like Luigi will take out the Game Boy Horror and look at it. It's very good.
You see him carrying it around too as mm-hmm. as he's walking around. He's walking around. He's like, Mario.
I just want to gush a little bit real quick about E. Gadd. Again, great. Probably one of my favorite like side characters in the Nintendo canon. I don't know if you remember this, but fans will also be interested to know that he appeared in a couple side games. I know he's in one of the Mario and Luigi RPG games as a character. He has some indirect references in Super Mario Sunshine, where you find out through a line of dialogue that he created the magic paintbrush that Bowser Jr. uses to wreak havoc on Isle Delfino. And he also created Flood, the water jetpack that Mario uses, because like when Flood's booting up, you see E. Gadd's logo and name in like the boot menu.
Yeah.
But overall, he has not been in a mainline Mario game since Sunshine, unless there's some kind of buried reference to him that I've missed. And honestly, Josh, that bums me out.
I'm pretty sure
he's a good character.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was in Luigi's Mansion 2 and 3, right?
Well, I mean a mainline Mario game.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Actual Mario. Okay.
Yeah, like he's stuck within this series, but like they put him in Sunshine and it was kind of like, oh, we're expanding the universe a bit, you know, and then he's just gone again. A little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Birdo appears every now and then. Like, why can't E-Gadd appear?
Yeah, I like fun Mario canon stuff when they do things with it. But all right, so Josh, Mario's missing. Luigi's got a Ghostbuster
backpack.
That's
a different game. That's a different game, Tom.
Oh yes, Mario cannot be found.
Okay.
Luigi has a Ghostbuster backpack. So what are we doing, Josh? What's the goal of this game?
Well, as one person would say, busting makes us feel good, and we're going
that's
in.
That's not safe for work.
Okay, we're going in, and we're going to be Ghostbusting. Mm-hmm. We're catching booze, and then catching all the residents of the mansion itself.
Yes, the portrait ghosts. Yes.
So
I guess whatever family or residents lived in this house. Their portraits were on the wall, and the evil powers of King Boo resurrected them all, and now they float amongst the mansion as distinct kinds of ghosts, and they're more powerful as a result.
Like I said, there's a lot of character in all of these ghosts. I was actually surprised with each one being so distinct, and you understood like how this person lived their life every time you ran into them. You know, where you saw Mr. Lugs, he was sitting there at the table just eating and constantly people bringing food to him over and over again. And you're like, okay, so he's the fat one. Like Augustus Gloop.
He was one of my favorites because he reminded me of Fatso, the obese uncle of Casper from the 1990 film Casper. Yep. And how they had that scene where they were eating and the food was just falling through them.
Yeah, and then you had like the Slim Bank shot, which he was the one that was in the billiards room where you had to do, where you had to catch the balls and then shoot them at. Yeah, like they all had distinctive ways that they moved. Nana, the way that she was sitting on the chairs knitting and stuff like that the whole time, and if you interrupted her, she was upset. Madame Clairvoya.
That's what I took it as. Yeah,
like she was there to be guidance for Luigi. She knew that she was a ghost. She knew what was going on, but she, and then at the end, after you got all the Mario pieces, she was like, hey, capture me. Like she knew it was like, okay, time's up. I'm done. I did what I need to do here. Like then you had ones that sucked, like twins and the soldiers.
Twins, Harry and Orville, or named after the Wright brothers.
Henry
and Orville, correct. Thank you. Named after the Wright brothers. Yeah, the clockwork soldier ghosts were a pain in the neck. I like Biff Atlas, though, the big roidy ghost who's like the 1900 strongman. Vincent Van Gore, yes, that was a very good ghost. All, like I said, all great personalities. Chauncey the baby.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you did not like the boss ghost. Chauncey is the first one,
dude,
I believe.
Bulossus was the worst boss fight of this whole damn game. Like,
not a fan.
20 boos. You had to freeze them. It was just frustrating. And why didn't I just have the ability to switch my elementals? My thing, rather than having to go and find a flame, capture the flame, then be able to use that, or find an ice box and use it from there. Like, why couldn't I just have them all at my disposal inside my flood, rather than having to go down, walk around the room? And that one door is always locked. I don't know if you could ever open it, but so you always had to go along the back of the house, back up through the gym, and then to go up the stairs. Like, the game only took so long because certain areas of the world were blocked off to you the entire time. It's frustrating.
I get you. No, I get you. As Josh was mentioning, yeah, the Poltergust eventually gets some increased abilities to shoot out projectiles based around, as he mentioned, fire, ice, and water. And you activate that by, you have to physically, you find a lit candle and you suck up the fire and boom, now you're in fire mode. And if you use the GameCube's analog triggers, you push down a little bit, it'll be like a tiny string of fire. But if you push it all the way in and get the click, much bigger burst of fire. And then that applies to all the other ones. And there's ghosts that have context for things like that. Shivers, the butler ghost, he's kind of wandering the hallways and he's cold. His name's Shivers. He's always like, bleh. And if you fire element the candelabra he's holding, it ignites and he doesn't like that. And he starts freaking out and he'll run to his room to put out the candle. And that's where you can capture him. So they do little puzzles like that.
There was a lot of nice puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
I will give it that. The creativity with the puzzles of getting all the ghosts to be active was really good and really nice every time you experienced one of them.
Yes, yes. But Josh, you mentioned getting lost in the house, so let's talk about this mansion. It's this big three-ish story house, and you know, I will say its size may be a little bit daunting, but like I honestly liked the layout. I liked the way that the house is constructed. Everything kind of has a place and makes sense. It's like, oh yeah, like that would be a room that this should flow into or something like that. What did you think about the
design? It seemed like a legit house. Like there wasn't any wasted space. Yeah, you had the three floors and then you had the basement.
Yeah.
And like even the basement, the way that it was set up was like very like storagey, mixed with a dungeon as well. But it acted like a real house would. You go in, you have your big grand room there at the staircase, you go through the thing, and then you go into your dining room, or you go into, you know, you have some, you know, side rooms or a foyer or, you know, a ballroom upstairs. Like there was so much inside of it. It looked like it was an actual mansion. And it even came with hidden rooms, secret passageways, like another spooky mansion would have, which right. goes into some of the optional boss fights that you would see or optional rooms that you'd be able to go into. But yeah.
There's only a set amount of ghosts you need to capture to complete the game, but there are some optional secrets and things you can find in this game. And another thing that this mansion's packed with, you know, wall to wall, is a lot of money and treasure. And Josh, talk to us like, you know, about the treasure, like what kind of purpose it serves.
So you actually would go through and everything pretty much has money in it, whether it's coins or gems or paper bills or gold bars hanging out everywhere. You suck up everything. And at the end of the game, once you beat it, you are given a grand total of all the money that you've collected. And with that money you collected, you would get a overall ranking for the game. And I think the ranking goes from like rank H up to rank A, if I'm not mistaken. I think when I finished it, I might have gotten D or C, which I was actually shocked that I did. But every time you get hit, money sometimes flies all over the place, if I'm not mistaken. Very similar to like Sonic losing rings.
Right. And then it can disappear.
Right.
But yeah, and then your rank corresponds with a nice little treat at the end. You find out that however much money you did get, Luigi uses it to rebuild his own mansion.
Yeah.
So in the way, it's like you're helping Luigi towards getting the nice, happy ending that his circumstances did not set him up for. You know, he was thrown into a crappy situation, but at the end he can make something out of it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, when I finished my house, well, my mansion kind of looked like just a normal like 2-story, 3-story house, and I was like,
I could live in that.
Yeah, I was fine with that. I'm not
gonna
be upset.
In this area.
Yeah, I got the infestation gone. We're good there. We don't need to worry about it anymore.
So Josh, did you have any kind of favorite rooms in this mansion? Any kind of favorite locations?
Nothing really stood out super much. Like I said, I think it was more just I was getting frustrated with some of the boo stuff that it was taking my enjoyment away from the game.
Yeah. So as Josh was mentioning, like towards the end of the game, King Boo fills the mansion with 50 boos and they're hidden throughout and you've got to go hunt them down. And they have some of the highest health points of any enemies in the game. And when you find them, like, you know, you'll come into the projector room and there'll be a boo there and you can start sucking him up, but then he'll run away through the wall. And that's different from other ghosts. Like other ghosts would be contained within their room. So if the boo leaves the room, you've got to follow it out. You can try to continue capturing it in the hallway. But if the boo goes back into the room that it just left, as you mentioned, it's back and forth. And it's like, oh, this is not fun.
No, I would say I had spent maybe close to 2 hours with just chasing boos down from room to room to room to room. And I was getting so frustrated where I didn't even want to finish the rest of the game. And I was like, I'm so close. I was at like 48 boos. And I'm like, these last two are just pissing me off so much. That I just, is it worth it? And I didn't know what I got. I didn't know what I got after I got all the boos. And then I got the last one. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that was it. I got a gold diamond. Like, it wasn't worth it. And Nintendo has that habit of putting collectible stuff into games and it not being worth it.
What would you say are some of the biggest Nintendo collectible blunders?
Anytime you play a Mario game and just get an alternate opening screen.
Like Mario Kart, yeah.
Yeah. Anytime... Breath of the Wild, collecting all of the seeds, the Korok seeds, getting poop. And then afterwards, afterwards it's just useless. It's pointless to get all of it.
You expand the inventory slots. I mean, there's that.
But after you get the poop, There's nothing else afterwards. Like, they just have that habit, though, of saying, like, hey, go and collect all this stuff. And then you get there and it's like, do I get anything cool? Like, I know, like, playing certain games where you get, like, fun stuff for collecting everything. You know, going through, there was one of my favorite ones is in Dead Space, where you go through and you collect all the stuff, or you complete, or you beat it on all the hardest difficulties, and then you get like a foam finger gun, and then he goes pow 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 pow, and he blows stuff up with it. Like, that's something fun and stupid. You get fun stuff in a lot of other games, and Nintendo has that habit of just saying like, hey, do this stuff, and then there might be something cool at the end of it, and then you do it, and not like. Collecting all of the moons in Mario Odyssey got you what?
Nothing. I mean, you hit the certain point, you unlock Darker Side, which is like kind of the experience gauntlet, you know. But I think, yes, there is a certain point in Mario Odyssey where moons just become a collectathon kind of item, and for the sake of itself, it's just there for people who want that satisfaction.
Let's talk about, even like with Mario 64, what do you get for collecting all the stars in Mario 64?
Well, you get to go visit Yoshi at the top of the castle, and you get 120 or 100 mushrooms. So you get 100 lives to just go and play the game. It meant more back in the day when I don't think live systems mattered even then. I think when I was a kid, I thought that was the coolest shit in the world. As an adult, yes, I admit it's kind of like, yeah, all right. Great. Here's extra lives in a game where
after you just
lives
beat
shouldn't
it,
matter.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't worth doing all that extra work leading up to the final boss fight against King Boo dressed up as Bowser. And this is where I died the most.
Okay, in the final boss.
Yeah, it was just the controls of trying to grab the giant boulders and shoot them back at them and stuff like that was just, it was very frustrating. And I don't know. I think everything in this game was good except the optional stuff and the boss fights. The game had a great atmosphere, had great characters, had a great world inside of it. It's just the main pieces or alternative pieces of this game were what hurt it. You know, like the bosses to get you from point A to point B to unlock the next area were frustrating to get through, to going into the final boss fight and the camera going to a different perspective. And now you're trying to relearn how to like move in this way and how to aim. And it's really hard to aim when you're a little bit above your character, when your character is looking up and down, like it's hard to judge where you're going to be doing that kind of stuff. Without the boss fights, without the booze, this game was wonderful. Hence going back to saying it was wonderfully frustrating. And it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's a great game.
Yeah.
But frustrating.
Yeah. I get you. Aggravating, it is. That was me being Yoda. And, you know, it's charm and its character is what I think has preserved it. It's a lot like the Wind Waker, you know, everyone remembers the Wind Waker for how it looks and how fun it and what great spirit it had. But then you reach the point where you have to go on the ship and find the 8 scattered pieces of the Triforce in the ocean. But first you have to find all the maps that show you where each of the pieces are, and you have to go pay Tingle to translate the maps. Like, I've never replayed Wind Waker more than 2 or 3 times, and every time I get to that, it's like, oh, yeah, right, this is where I hate the game. So, yeah, there's a common theme in Nintendo games this era where they make very striking masterpieces, except they don't end up as masterpieces because there's one thing that kind of cripples the experience. It's a bummer. But, yes, that is a little bit of the legacy of this game, is that put Luigi in the spotlight, gave him the most character he had up to that point, and gave him a unique adventure that a Mario game had not really dabbled in before. And so, you know, Josh, you mentioned it's kind of got like, you know, positive but still mixed reviews. And for a while, this franchise was kind of quiet. And I shouldn't say franchise, it was just an IP then, but then it became a franchise when we got Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on the 3DS, And then we got a 3DS remake of this game, Luigi's Mansion. And then ultimately, it culminated in Luigi's Mansion 3 on the Switch. Now, Josh, have you played any of those games?
No. I
Okay.
own Dark Moon and I still have it sealed.
Okay. Well, hey, that's a Nintendo game, so that's instantly worth $20 more than it probably originally
Yeah,
was.
it's true.
Dark Moon, I have heard, has a very, very mixed reputation, like even more than this game does. And not just critically, even with the fans, they're like, oh, it's like things about it I've heard are a lot less fun, a lot more tedious. I've heard that the Luigi's Mansion remake on the 3DS is good, if a little bit messy because the controls don't translate that well without two full used thumbsticks. And I'm a little bit of a bad fiance because Mary got me Luigi's Mansion 3 last Christmas. I haven't played it yet. My intention was, let's wait until Halloween time and play this because then it'll make the most sense. So I've got like 9 days to hurry up and play Luigi's Mansion 3 so that it
You gotta
works.
play as Gooigi.
Gooigi, yes, the doppelganger introduced in the multiplayer of Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS.
But you are missing one more game.
Oh, am I?
Straight from Dave and Buster's themselves, the arcade
Oh.
version of Luigi's Mansion.
Well, I actually realized I'm missing one more game, but tell me
Oh!
about your game real quick, because
So.
I'm only fleetingly aware of this.
Luigi's Mansion Arcade was, think about like the Jurassic Park game, the shooter, right? You go into a
You
dark
mean the Lost
little,
World one, right? Where you're in. Okay.
yes. You go into a nice little cabinet, standing up or sitting down, I think. I think it's sitting down. And you reach down and you pull up your poltergeist. And then you're just sucking up ghosts left and right. And it's pretty much just a rail shooter in Luigi's Mansion, and it is fun and it is wonderful. And
Can I
I,
ask a question?
yes.
He says that Dave and Buster's.
Yes.
Does that mean the game costs $10 to play?
I'm not sure how much it cost. I know when I went to Dave and Buster's for a work thing and they gave us unlimited games, I spent almost an hour inside the machine
That's the dream, unlimited Dave and Buster's.
because that was fun. But then I know that there's one more Luigi's Mansion style game, if I'm not mistaken. Was it a part of Nintendo Land?
Yes, there is a mini game within Nintendo Land that is based around Luigi's Mansion, and it's a five-player game, and it's super cool. You have to assume, even though the Wii U is not even 10 years old, people just don't know it because it
What is this
underperformed.
antique?
Oh, it's a heartbreaking thing. But five players, one of you using the gamepad, you are a ghost, and you're using the screen, you can see everybody and you. The other players play with Wiimotes on the TV and they can't see where the ghost is. And the game is about like the ghost trying to pick off all the players while everybody else is trying to stop the ghost using their flashlights. They're like, Professor Egad flashlights. It's very fun, it's very good, and it's just good stuff. Yeah, it's a very good Luigi's Mansion piece of media.
It's nice though that they have little spin-offs. I've actually never played Nintendo Land. I heard it's fun. It has some hits and then a lot more misses on
The
it, but
hits, in my opinion, the hits are so good that they overcome the misses. And I would love a sequel,
would
like
the
on the
hits
Switch.
rival Wii Sports?
I see, it's not fair to compare them that way because they're not it's not the same kind of thing. Like
Okay.
it was probably the defining use of the gamepad, I'm not gonna lie. And it has, for me, led to some very memorable multiplayer experiences.
Overall, Tom, what about your experience with the game? Like what's your take on Luigi's Mansion?
I think this is similar to you. Like this is one of those examples of like how Nintendo games have just a unmatched amount of care and creativity in every single area. It's not a game that lasts forever. In fact, you can beat it so quickly, maybe that's kind of a detriment. Like this is a delightful experience that I think everyone should give themselves a chance to have at least once. It's very fun. It's got a degree of creepiness to it, but like in that, like you said, that wholesome way. the lighting and the animation effects for its time are incredible. I think, you know, you were talking about it. I don't know if you remember the mirror hallway within the mansion, but there's like a big long hallway with a mirror, and it's like, it reminded me a lot of the mirror room in Super Mario 64, where in that game you can only find the painting for a certain world by looking in the mirror. And it was like, at the time it was like, wow, that's an incredible display of like the N64's power. And in this, Luigi can only catch ghosts that appear in the mirror, but like they're present around him. And it's just this nice little, like, basically a tech flex of the GameCube. It's like, look what we can pull off, you know?
Yeah.
So I think for what it was in its time, it's pretty dang good. It's aged a little poorly in terms of its gameplay and its pacing, but this is fun. Like, fun is fun. I had a good time. And yeah, I could recommend it. It's not like a must play, but it's definitely like, you know, I don't know. It's like, for me, this is going to sound like the weirdest comparison in the world, but I mean it. It's like, it's similar to the Fast and Furious movie franchise, where it is not high art, but it is so undeniably charming and fun and character driven that I would come back to it time and again. I'm hoping that analogy tracks, if you get what I'm saying. You know,
I do understand exactly where you're getting at with that.
Yeah. So that's where I am. And Josh, would you definitely recommend this to people or not recommend it? What do you think?
I would recommend this to people to play at least once. Take it however you want once you're done. I don't recommend going and completing the whole game, like completing every little objective in the game. Go through, play the main story, enjoy the characters for what they are. The main ghosts are great. The Boo story, not so great, unfortunately. I will praise Nintendo for being adventurous with this game, because everyone's always, well, it's just another Mario game. It's just another Mario game. Now, granted, 2D Mario games sell like hotcakes. 3D Mario games are very hit and miss sometimes. But when it comes to them thinking outside the box, Luigi's Mansion, Kevin Toad Treasure Tractor, Link's Awakening, you know, all other, I would consider Link's Awakening a part of that because it was another company that made that game. It wasn't actually a legit Nintendo release, right? Or
Capcom,
hell, even doing Legend of Zelda 2, changing up the formula, you know what I mean? Like, being adventurous with their franchises. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And this is a time where it, I think over time, it's gotten the respect that it deserves. Whether it's not a masterpiece of a game, but it is a staple of the GameCube. But overall, I would say definitely try it. Definitely play it. You might have fun with it. I mean, it's a kid-friendly version of Ghostbusters.
Exactly. Fun time for the whole family.
Yep.
So, Josh, you know, I just want to say on our behalf, thanks to everyone for joining us through these spooky games through the month of October. We hope you enjoy them. If you've got any suggestions for horror titles we should pick up next October, we would gladly welcome anything that could fill our calendar. This is a fun month to do, and we hope you enjoyed it. Josh, what would you say? You know, let's just do something fun real here. You want to rank, or at least just say what you think the highlight of the month was for you?
Highlight of the month, honestly, over on twitch.tv/castofthepass, playing through the original Resident Evil trilogy with everyone in our Twitch chat was wonderful. The days that we've spent playing through those games and just talking about how crazy and stupid and goofy and corny and campy all these games were, but at the same time being so damn lovable and great games still to this day, was probably the highlight of the spooky month of the year.
That's incredible.
That's like,
awesome. I think
the community joining us together and experiencing games was the best part of this month. And then going through and having you finally play Resident Evil 2 was probably like the pinnacle of it. I was like, I was just so happy that we finally got to finally experience that.
You're just a proud papa.
Yeah. What about you, Tom?
Yes. Well, as always, thank you to all of our fans. I love you all so much. You're the best. And I think the biggest takeaway from this for me was probably PT. I'm fascinated by PT now, and my highlight was honestly putting my fiance Mary down in front of PT, turning all the lights off, putting over your headphones on her, and just being like, play this. And she's like, what is it? I go, just play it, I'm gonna watch it. And she was like, this is weird. But then watching her be like, huh, like, what it's going on. It's yeah. Like that was fun for me. But no, I got to play some very incredible games this month, got to have a lot of great conversations with you, and just thanks for joining us. This is good stuff, and we're I'm looking forward to what we're doing the rest of the year.
Yeah, so do you want to spoil what we're going to be doing in November?
Well, November is going to be another themed month. We're kind of getting addicted to themes, so we're going to have what we're calling Games We're Thankful For. Obviously, here in America, it's Thanksgiving towards the end of the month, so we want to reflect back on games that have had a big impact on our life. So we will have some episodes where we get, you know, get deep into the feels about, you know, an important title or two.
But until next time, this has been Josh
and Tom,
and we'll see you in the future. Well, that's all the time that we can spend in the past, so thanks for listening. Subscribe to A Cast of the Past on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And stay up to date with the Cast of the Past by making sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There you can be the first to know when new episodes drop, as well as joining in on discussions on all things gaming. And until next time, we'll see you in the future.